I'm Scott.
I'm Russell.
And I'm Leo. This is Spitball. Welcome to Spitball, the Pitchin' Kitchen, where three startup savants, that's us, empty our heads of all the tech, product, and startup ideas that we have stuck up in there, so you can all have them for free. Anything that we say is yours to keep. And this week, I brought our guest. Today we have Alex. Alex is my former coworker and good friend and fellow tech enthusiast. He is one of the reasons that I know how to code at all, because I would pester him incessantly about syntax and structure questions over the years. And today he's going to lend us some thoughts. Alex, welcome to Spitball.
Thank you. Hi.
This is going to be a good time. Today, to kick us off, we have a guest pitch that we're going to discuss here. Some of you may know Fabulous Neil, Real Neil Pipes of Steel from Community, Charlie Kuntz. We've pitched him for an idea, so let's take a listen to what he's bringing to the table.
What's up, Scott, Russell, Leo, all the Spitball family? How are you? Just in case your audience doesn't know who I am, my name's Charlie Kuntz. I was on a show called Community, and a special shout out to the small but mighty fans of CSI Cyber out there. That was a favorite. It's raining here in LA today, which is a rare occurrence, but I would like to pitch a better umbrella. The classic umbrella, I mean, it's been around for centuries, but I gotta say, I'm not happy with it. You're gonna get less wet than you would without it, but you're still getting wet. I mean, it's got the bar that goes up into the middle and then it comes out, but then I hold it at this side and then I got a whole area over here that's keeping the sidewalk dry, and I got this shoulder that's getting all wet, and my pants are getting wet, my shoes are getting wet. Perhaps it's more of like an L shape. So you hold it in one hand, you can switch it around, whatever, and it just goes up and over. Or maybe two, maybe the ski pole, or better yet, an umbrella, an improvement on the hat umbrella. Maybe just bigger and dome-like. I know it's already kind of invented, but I want to use it both my hands, too. You know, I'm a busy guy. I got to stay on the phone. I'm moving and shaking. I'm walking. So that's my pitch, the better umbrella. I think it's time for a redesign. I hope that inspires conversation and thought and debate. And if somebody does invent the new umbrella, I'd like the first one. And I'll save it for the 2 days in Los Angeles that it rains. So cheers to you all. Thanks for having me. I can't wait to hear how it all shakes out.
Thanks, Charlie, for your thoughts. So, yeah, he gave us a few places to start, right?
I'm sorry, that was Neil from Community?
Right.
Fucking love Community. That's amazing. Yeah.
That's great.
Fabulous Neil.
So, isn't this like something that they do already in Japan, where they've got like the ones that go from all the way down to the ground? It's almost like it's got like a shower curtain attached to the rim of the umbrella or something.
Yeah, I feel like I've seen the full body thing.
Yeah, like I feel like it's I don't know if it's like a fashion thing.
Yep. Do you be walking around with a shower curtain?
Yeah, it's going to be hard to make this cool.
Oh, it's that shower curtain guy. It's guy that walks around with a shower curtain.
I mean, I guess that's a pretty easy way to prototype it, right? Like,
right.
I guess that's it. Like, that's the poncho. Like, that's why people don't walk around with ponchos or garbage bags, you know?
Right.
Have you seen those air umbrellas where it's just like a wand that points straight up?
Oh,
and
yeah.
Emits really high pressured air in all directions and deflects the air.
What? How big is it?
So cool.
Yeah. It's just a wand. It's like a pole that you're holding above your head.
How?
I don't know. It must be very loud, though.
Like a Dyson or something.
A Dyson vacuum.
Blowing
about
air out.
12 minutes of battery life.
You have to use an extension cord.
That's incredible if that's a real thing. I love that. That's the sort of place that I was starting with, was like, is there some sort of technology solution to this that nobody's thought of? But yeah, Dyson Airblade butt above your head is amazing.
You're fine when you're not, when the rain isn't moving and you're not walking forward. I think that's part of the problem. So you can't walk forward.
Or if it's really windy. Yeah.
So maybe, what if you shape the umbrella to like go forward like 6 extra feet? Or like
like an awning?
I didn't want to say 6 inches. I wanted to say like,
oblong umbrella, yes. Instead of an elliptical umbrella, instead of a
Oscar Mayer wiener circular umbrella. We got it.
The place where my mind went to was those cabs that you can attach to a snowblower.
know what I'm talking about? Where like you kind of have a full body.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you know who? Chick-fil-A. Have you seen? Have you gone to Chick-fil-A when it rains?
Yeah, the things they wear. That's right. They've got like little pop-up tents.
They're like little minions with clipboards or like iPads.
Is it like on their back or are they like off to the side?
I don't know how it attaches to the body, but it's like a pop tent.
Oh, it's attached to
you. Yeah. It's a full pop tent, bright fluorescent yellow thing with a little window. It's funny. Walking around with perfect cubes. There's no way anyone in LA would ever wear anything like that.
I think, what's the fashionable umbrella? Like I think that's part of it. Stainless steel.
60 pounds.
Fashion. Beauty is pain.
Just an aluminum cube around you with a little eye slit and nothing else.
He mentioned the umbrella hat. I want to circle back to this Dyson Airblade idea. Can we integrate this into something you wear? So it's pushing the force field of water around you like a bubble.
Like a backpack?
I love that.
Backpack for the batteries, because that thing's going to be heavy. I don't want to wear that on my head.
One of those straw hats or a bucket hat.
Yeah.
I really like that.
Like one of those the sun hats, but like 3 foot out.
Yes.
A sun hat that emits 15 PSI in all directions.
A 3 foot diameter hat with a Dyson vacuum on full reverse. Just
like there's no way you can do that quiet.
I was just gonna say that. I think down the hall and around the corner of the alleyway, wah, coming over toward you. That's gonna be great.
I'm just picturing like a funeral scene in a Hollywood movie where everyone's dressed in black with their black umbrellas, and there's just that one guy just. Yeah,
that's like I think you should leave sketch or something. That's great.
Sounds real.
Women's hair getting messed up as you walk by. Papers, newspaper stand going flying into the breeze.
So what if we go a different way, right? Like the other way to get rid of water is to heat it up, right? And then it'll turn to steam and go away. So all we got to do is just make a super hot plane above the head, right?
Yeah, like, yeah.
Alex, yes.
Can we build like a plasma hat or something?
Plasma hat.
Dude.
We could have done lightsabers. Nope, we're doing umbrellas.
It just whirs. Whirs like a helicopter above your head.
There you go.
The full lightsaber effect.
Just don't get too close to somebody else, right?
Accidentally behead your dinner date.
Dude, what about like a ceiling fan though? Like, could you do like a ceiling fan type of
a ceiling fan hat?
Like a helicopter hat that actually okay, quadcopters, okay? How much power does a quadcopter
when one blade just isn't dangerous enough?
They are loud, but they're not like that loud.
You're going to have the strongest neck of any human alive as you're supporting the force of...
No, it's doing upward thrust. It's doing it easier to stand than anything.
Wait, what?
No, downward thrust.
Oh, downward thrust. Yeah.
So it's forcing you into the ground. Shooting the air up.
They can just carry like a tarp above you and then... You know, you get four of them on each corner and
it follows you around autonomously down the street.
Yeah.
And then, it's high enough away.
They already do that, right?
Yeah. You can't hear it because it's, it's 50 feet in the air or whatever, but it's aligned perfectly so that whatever vector the rain is coming down is, it will not hit you in that spot.
Yeah. You've created an anti-cloud.
Anti-cloud. That's a good name. That's my favorite so far.
That's mine as well. Hope that helps, Charlie. We solved it for you. Next.
Yep. We'll take investment.
All right, Russell. What is an idea that you would love to implement but just don't have time for?
All right. So I have a baby, a big dog, and the house is constantly getting smaller because every year you get new shit. Just constantly. It just doesn't stop. And you not getting rid of shit fast enough. So you kind of store it and you run out of space to store it all, start organizing. And I had this brilliant idea. All right. Why? I don't need everything in my house. I need it accessible at some point in time, but not right away. So what if I had a storage locker like Amazon, where I had all of my extra stuff in inventory on a website that I could leave my stuff outside. They'd pick it up, store it in their warehouse. I could order my stuff already exists to be at my house within 1 to 2 day shipping, two hour shipping. I don't know. Just storage garage meets Amazon logistics. And we got ourselves, I don't need to buy another house or a garage or a basement storage room. I just store it in my Amazon storage garage. Like this
I love that. Yes.
This is, but it's cool because I feel like I'm buying my own shit again, you know? It's like an element of like, I buy it twice, you know? So that's it.
I have been wondering what to do with my new pole barn.
There you go. Yeah. And then it's like,
rent it out, lease it out to this.
I was just going to say, yeah. You know how people moonlight as an Uber driver or an Amazon delivery driver? You are literally the whole stack. There you go. Stack.
Crowdsource everything, yeah. Right? Like, there's tons of people with pole barn space. So you have on one side, you got people storing, and then you got the drivers too. So, like, you got the full. Yeah.
Dude, that's like great. Your winter storage clothes, your summer storage clothes, it's 2 days away. And like the whole system, it's like they take pictures and they store it. And it's a subscription, right? You probably pay per square foot or something. And it's not too expensive or you price yourself out. But it's like, all right, winter clothes going to Storazon. I don't have a name for it yet.
Storazon.
Yeah.
I would want some guarantee that it's not, you know, being fiddled with and rifled through. So you could do this per box where you have it like locking. I know that I have inventoried it myself to have these 8 items in the box or whatever. And it just, you know, it has my own code that I set on it or key that I keep and gets whisked away. I want boxes number 3 and 7 today, please. And I'll swap out whatever's in
it. Love that. You have your own inventory of what's in there. And
sure.
Just request it and it shows up that day. I'm just picturing all these like storage units that you see where they just hire a runner who's like, I am the guy that runs back and forth and brings your shit from this place to your house.
Yeah, it seems like the next Shipt app, right? Like you got the Shipt shoppers, the Uber, like storage garages. That's the next innovation.
And I hate seeing good space being developed into storage units. That is the most ugly, annoying, like sad use of like a downtown area, right? If you do this, you can whisk it away to the warehouse district or people's pole barns or whatever.
I mean, you could even go to the Airbnb route. You got an extra room. You can hire out your extra room and
sure.
I'll store 10 totes or whatever, yep. Right?
Yes.
You're going to have someone coming into your property at 1 a.m. being like, no, I got to get totes 4 through 7 for...
Presumably the app or service would, you know, coordinate. You have to have this area accessible by the pickup person at these times of day, or you just set it on the back porch or whatever.
Yeah. You can upsell it like temperature controlled, cooler unit, you know, if you want to go full 3-sided marketplace with it, right? I'm just, I'm thinking I rent a old ass warehouse and a couple vans. That's it.
Sounds like you're plotting a murder.
Yeah, I'm selling.
I know. I was just starting to think that too. I was like,
so I can.
Is there some kind of like liability issue here?
Well, it's seasonal, you know. So we have the kidnapping season and we have storage running season on the downtime.
Legally, when that box you're storing starts to smell real bad, what are you? What are your rights?
I didn't think about that.
That's a great question. Yeah.
So I would pitch it like, get your basement back. You know, add square footage to your home at $2 a square foot.
I am a child at heart. I would store some of my gadgets and then be excited to see them again 6 months from now.
Right?
I think most people would.
Yeah.
Not only get your basement back, but like you said, excited to see my stuff again. Yeah.
I love that. Honestly, just put a scrapbook in there and then it comes back a year later or several years later. Be like, oh yeah, this is really cool.
How big could we go? Because, you know, it'd be great if I could, like, send my snowblower off when I'm not going to need it for 9 months.
Oh, my gosh. That is, yes, exactly.
Trade out the mower for the blower.
You have small totes, big totes, and pallets. And just whatever you can put on the pallet, we move it from point A to point B.
Yeah.
Wow. This is real. This seems real.
It is.
It really is. I think so, yeah. Now we just got to come up with a good name for it.
What did you say earlier?
Storazon. I already said it.
Storazon. There it is. It's like a Power Ranger villain.
It's Zordon. That's the help desk ticket person. Here's another thing. You could look at your stuff and then it's already hosted at some facility. You could list it at that point too. You could sell your stuff through this app as well.
There you go.
So now it becomes
somebody else meets you.
Oh, yeah. Storage and fulfillment. So now Facebook Marketplace is now managed through stores.
Get rights to the snowblower that Alex put in storage.
Or rent it out.
You can take over the movement or the moving industry too, right? Like, why take all this time over a weekend to load up a truck and drive it to my new house if I can just send all my stuff to the warehouse and then send it to my new house later?
Get it at my leisure. Whenever I need it, I'll pull it out.
Oh, shit. Yeah. It's just like I could store my whole house and then buy it one at a time, right? Like, rebuy it.
So is it subscription model or is it like a per shipment?
I feel like I'd have
both.
If it was me, I would do it subscription model just because you're right. Exactly what you're saying, Russell. I don't want to be buying my stuff back every time. I just want to hit a button and have it show up.
Yeah.
Paying $99 a year or whatever. Probably more than that, but whatever it is.
And we can't just afford to store stuff for free. That's taking up space somewhere, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know what the price... I mean, I think it'd be a little bit of both at first until we found the right mix of price and spice, you know? Like,
yeah.
Ideally, it'd just be Amazon Prime style because everybody knows that. But like, I don't know.
I think it's per box.
You'd have to store it. Like the costs are storage and shipping.
And hosting and...
Yep.
I love the take. I can't stop thinking about the take a cut to sell it, though. You're looking at a catalog of all your shit. You say, you know what? I haven't even pulled that out of the storage unit in 2 years. Let me press one button. The site takes 30%. They list it on Facebook Marketplace for you. They do the meetup. They sell it. Man, that's great.
That's so good.
They could even, they could do suggestions of like, hey, you haven't touched this thing in five years.
I shouldn't have pitched
this.
It's
so good. It's like writing a check to someone else. Like no money actually changed hands, but you're now the owner of this thing somewhere else.
Oh, yeah. Because technically you don't even need to send it to your house. It could just be like.
No, they just have access to it now in the same storage unit.
That's great.
Did I even buy anything?
It's like NFTs.
It is.
Except they actually have something behind it. Right. So
I bought a new computer.
There's
a physical object
somewhere.
I haven't seen it yet. It's
and then you built a buying and selling asset tradable commodity market where you can invest by buying up all the area snowblowers, and then in 3 months you've got them all and you can slowly introduce them back out into the market.
Refurbished, right. Like new.
It's like how people, there's like a whole like corn market and stuff, the ETFs, right? People don't actually keep the corn in their warehouses. They're just selling pieces of paper that say this is good for 12 truckloads of corn. Yeah, it's a speculative asset market. I love this.
Speculative markets with store. What do you store?
Speculative garage store. Garage sale.
This is the next level from those Storage Wars reality shows where they buy a unit. You know what's in there. That's great.
See, that's how you could cut your costs down too. It's like, oh, you could get your subscription paid for each month by selling stuff through the service or just flat rate. We make some finance guy gurus like looking at this and saying, if we store 100,000 pallets, we make actually 10 million a year. So just assets under management, baby. That's what they say, I think, in the CFO office. It's just... And so they're like, yeah, just free, make it free, and then we sell for 100. That's the subscription,
right?
Or the whole how could we commoditize this data? We know everything that these people own, right? So there's your monetization.
You sell everything that they own to them. Hey, these guys have a lot of cat accessories. Facebook, now you have that.
Whoa.
MetaQuest 2s are going in storage all over the world. Sell Facebook stock. It's just like.
Partner with the insurance agent, insurance industry.
Boy.
Yeah.
When this business has information on all of the stuff that's around these
clients' houses. That's something.
Seems good.
Well, I mean, even just think about like how easy would it be to itemize your
whatever you call the list of yeah. the stuff that you own.
You have an insurance claim to make and you've got like, oh, well, these were the items that I did not have checked in. Right. So like,
sure. This is a complete house inventory system.
You could get a better deal on your insurance depending on how much your stuff is stored at this facility.
If you go around your house with our new app and you note with object recognition and or typing in stuff manually, everything you own, we will even make suggestions on the things that make sense to put into storage seasonally or you make the walk once a week. Boy, it looks like that thing has been sitting on a shelf untouched every week you've walked by for 6 months. Maybe you should put that in storage.
Doesn't Amazon own Roomba now? Can't they just like the little cameras on there just figure it out on its own with every vacuum?
That's no joke why I switched away from Roomba. I didn't love the idea of like, hey, we noticed that there's a new baby crib in your house. Want some new baby accessories? Screw you, iRobot. God,
that's so dystopian.
Amazon cameras flying around my house feeding back data to the headquarters is a real dystopian something, huh?
You guys need anything? You guys need to store anything? First customers?
You piloting out your basement?
I was thinking garage or my trunk of the car, but we'll Captain Leo, what you got this week?
All right. So this goes along really nicely with the needing to increase organization in my home idea. So
Storazon.
This is a product that Storazon's going to sell to us. So I have a bookshelf, and I don't know if you have seen a collection of children's books altogether, but they're all really small, which means that they kind of make a bookshelf look ridiculous. It's so overstuffed with a billion books. I want to either sell an add-on kit for an existing nice bookshelf or sell a whole bookshelf with my product integrated. That is an Arduino or some kind of microcontroller on the side. It's got a barcode scanner. And it's got some sort of touchscreen, simple little interface, doesn't need a complicated UI. And then I want to have strips of LEDs and or presence detection that go all along the tops of the shelves. So when I buy a new book or I get gifted a new book, I walk up to my little thing and I scan its barcode and I put it anywhere on the shelf. And then someday later, when I want to retrieve my book, I walk up to the interface and I say, I'm looking for this book, start typing, and it gently lights up roughly the area on the shelf where the book went. And either a book is checked in or checked out. I've got a list of all the books that I have that are on the shelf itself, but I'm running up against the problem of having a disorganized mess of shelves. And I think other people might too. There are book collectors out there, I'm sure, with their home libraries that have a really big collection. It would be neat to be able to say, where did I put the Grapes of Wrath again? And then just a soft little glow over in the top left. Oh, I see it's up on the third shelf there. Let me grab it. And you don't need to have it be absolutely precise right on the book, but give me like a hint because I'm tired of rifling through all these little tiny 5-page children's books trying to figure out where the heck that one went.
So a digital Dewey Decimal system.
Gooey decimal because it's not perfect, right?
Just yeah, but it doesn't even have to be organized. It just knows, you put it here somewhere, right?
Gooey decimal.
Organize it however you want.
There you go.
I want to try to build this so bad.
It wouldn't be that hard, right?
I've seen a guy do it before with phones. So there's this guy on YouTube. He built a shelf system for this guy who has like a phone collection. He's like a reviewer of phones or something. I don't know. But had a whole like you flip through the database, select the device you want, and like the LEDs like fly across. Whoa. And then like stop on the one that you're looking for.
Nice.
It was pretty cool.
Like a vending machine, but for my own stuff.
Yeah.
I need to walk into a library and it needs to know what book I want and just guide me there through the lights. I just follow the light.
I really like that, actually. You guys ever read Ender's Game way back when? So you have a bunch of people in a space station that's huge and they don't know where to go. And like you scan
the lights,
your badge on the side, and like the floor will light up and take you to where you want to go. Just a string of LEDs and you follow your color. Put that in a library. and then have it go up to the shelf.
Every grocery store, every bookstore, any store should have that. You have the Meijer or whatever your local grocery store is app, and it's guiding you. Yes.
Wow. The thought that this could be in a grocery store.
Why does that exist?
I don't know. It took me to another place. Like, that's
what we need that. What does that mean?
You give it your 12 things. You give your 12 things to the shopping list, and you walk in the door and tap your phone to the little pad.
Builds an optimized list.
And it just gently guides you to the exact, like, traveling salesman optimized path through the store. It doesn't really benefit the store to have you be so laser focused, though. They want you to meander around.
I don't know. Walmart's desperate, though. Like, they need yeah, help.
Make it your MVP.
Kmart could have used this. They were, like, you know, a sinking ship. They would have maybe survived if they had.
There was a brief moment in time where Google and Apple were trying to make Bluetooth beacons a thing, where you would walk through the physical world and little coin-sized Bluetooth emitters would have some sort of unique piece of info, so you could have that store or that mall or whatever's app, and it would say, oh, you're near the bananas. They're on sale this week, kind of stuff, right? It seems like we were almost there 10 years ago, and we totally turned away. Probably privacy concerns.
And Bluetooth is just a terrible protocol.
It was too progressive. So is this like searching? Why? Like, I'm going to find stuff all over my house all the time. Like, does it have to be books? Like, I get the idea. So, like, I guess...
Like a tile tracker, but...
I'm a software guy, all right? So 360 camera through the whole house. This is some next level shit. Inventory, like...
We last saw the TV remote slide into this couch cushion from OCR 4 hours ago.
Just stick RF tags on
Roomba everything. Roomba does it already, right? We just talked about how Roomba and Amazon already figures out what's in your house. Just, like, monetize that. Just, like... Inventory everything.
I don't know. I kind of like the idea of being able to put in some cheap vinyl that has LEDs built into it, and my house can guide me to, I guess, the only example I can come up with is the remote, like you said. So
it's 2 a.m. and the dotted light and my drunk ass is guiding me to the bathroom.
I mean, like, the amount of times where I've been like, where did I set my phone down? Where did I, you know?
Hey, we'll find my ex.
It's like airplane or theater emergency exit lighting dotting the floor.
What's cool about it is it's not like super specific. So it's just like it's in the bedroom. Like, and it's got a pissy kind of like you dumbass tone to it to really send a message home. But like that'd be convenient. Like, thank you. You know,
slightly exasperated with you.
Again, you left it on the counter. You put your car keys in the freezer again, dumbass.
Why does the freezer let me is really the question.
New product.
A freezer that's bitchy?
No, it just has a metal detector on it.
There you go.
So this is for, like, do you have a big bookshelf, Leo? Or like, are you just, this is like LED?
No, that's my problem. I have a pretty small bookshelf and I need a bookshelf that's bigger. And so we have books on the shelf and spilling out of the shelf and on top of the shelf in piles. Oh. And it's not like we have thousands of books, but children's books are just irregular. Some of them are cardboard books and some of them are like 5 pages and some of them are thicker, heavy, hardcover things. And because you're trying to stick them all on the shelf together, most of them are too small to be obvious from the side what they are. Dude, right?
Yes.
If I'm putting War and Peace on my shelf, it's pretty obvious what that is from the side. But these little tiny 6-page books, not so much.
Dude, it's such a huge problem. And then the kid is, my kid at least, will cry now. Until he gets the book.
Yeah, that's the thing. The 4-year-old will come to me and say, can we read this? And I just feel the dread in my heart. Oh, okay, let's go find it. I'm sure mom knows exactly where that is. Nope, not me. This is going to be a 10-minute treasure hunt that you and I are going on, bud.
Yep, and bedtimes, we're already 10 minutes late, you know? It's just like... Yeah.
You're angry, you're exhausted. Yeah, exactly.
Ooh. Could you take a picture of your bookshelf, Leo? And then like... process it. Could you Google Lens this shit where you just like, all right, here's my bookshelf, click, it scans all the book titles, guesses, it knows all the page sizes, it knows all the books, and says, oh, this book is normally 8 inches tall, this wide. Rough. Here are the 30 books that match this description.
That's interesting. Yeah. Based off of Amazon product listings and stuff, I'm sure that those rough numbers are. Yeah. Yeah.
Dude. Yes. Amazon would love that. They get a picture of your bookshelf. They know what you want. They know what you read. And then they make recommendations on the sidebar when you, after you're done scanning. We found your book. Did you think about these three books, other two?
Did you know there's a sequel? Yeah.
Right. That's, now we have a monetization method.
I really like that, though, like an IoT LED strip that you have just in front of each of your bookshelves. And then whether it's Amazon controlling it or your own
Arduino
app, like you were, what you were talking about, either way, it can light up and tell you.
The original MVP of this is something that I think someone out there could build because it's really simple. It just needs to remember this number, light up LED number 61 over down in the corner. Got it. You know,
I just feel like there's so many applications to this too.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be your shelf in your garage filled with screws on your tool bench. Where is the 12 millimeter, whatever? Cause I've got 600 kinds of screws I'm looking at in little tiny buckets. Oh, bling, right over here.
Pantry for, you put in a recipe and it'll light up all the different spots that you have to go grab stuff from.
That's a good one. I want to make this
tonight.
You want
to dig around for cumin? Right.
Everything lights up.
Dude, Alex with the curveballs up in here. All right? That's amazing.
That is amazing.
I want chicken pot pie. Send it.
I'm sorry, you don't have peas.
Put it on your, like, a liquor shelf or something, and just, I want to make, you know, mojitos tonight, and just boom, everything lights up.
Yeah, right. It's got your cocktail bar area. It's cocktail got, bar. And if you put the lights under the liquors, then they all light up like you're at a fancy bar. There you go.
But I have booze all over my house, so like,
what's your whole house lights up, man.
Alcoholic mode.
Maybe you have to add a chime, too, just so you can, like, where in the house is it?
It's a little puck that goes in the bottom of the bottle that lights it up beautifully, and yeah, it's like an air tag. Yeah, there you go.
It, also, if it moves, I want to hear a chime. It's just a whole different
Find
reason.
My vermouth.
Google, where's my vodka?
All right, Scott, what wholesome, family-friendly organizational product have you brought this table?
I wish. So pretty early on, we had done a motivational app that we talked about, and I want to take that to the next level here. I want to make an app, and I want to call it not mutually assured destruction, but mutually assured dedication. And so how it works is you have a group of people, and let's say we have a group of guys, and we all want to start working out. Like, we just all want to get in shape. And so we'll say the four of us here, we're all going to contribute to a pot. We'll say whatever amount that would make you upset if you lost it, $100, $1,000, whatever. And if any of us does not complete our goal for that week, all of us lose the money. There is nothing more motivating than people breathing down your neck being like, hey, did you work out this week? Did you complete your goal? Did you check that box? It's not just me fighting me at this point. It's me fighting all of you guys. It's not competition. It's you guys getting your ass in gear as well as mine. As well.
That's brutal.
Nice.
Yes. I don't care what you're using this for. Is it's working out, it's trying to quit smoking, whatever. You're assigned an accountability buddy. As soon as you log into this app, you set your money off to the side. You have to complete your task. Otherwise, everyone loses.
I have a philosophical question about this. So is it more motivating for everyone to keep each other accountable if you can see who has and has not yet completed for this week? Or if it's hidden and it's terrifying to not know who's done it yet.
I definitely hidden. Oh, gosh. If cannot in your mind be the person to fail. I do not want to fail my friends. The embarrassment would just kill me here. That's a great question.
There's arguments either way, right? Because like if you're the only one left and it's halfway through the week, like, come on, just finish off the week. We're all done already, right? Ooh. But then if you nobody can see where anyone is.
I mean, you would just start conversations. This is life or death at this point. You know, one of those games like, I'm going to lose $1,000. Like that would, that, or like 500.
I feel like, so when you're 8 hours out from the deadline for that week, month, whatever, you got to start a countdown time. And that's like one person, two people still haven't completed their thing.
You know if it's you.
Anonymous. Yeah.
That's a great idea. Exactly.
Dude, I think the scariest part is like the app, like somebody not logging into the app and checking the box or something. Cause I feel like, right. I feel like it's like, you did it, but you didn't check the fucking box. Get your fucking ass, ass into the app. And,
if I had that much money in line, I would drive to your door and I would be banging on it at your house being like, Russell,
oh no,
work out or whatever.
I will move your legs, you mother. Like,
I went camping and had no service.
Oh, you! I will buy you a phone, you piece of shit. Like, that's not the time. It's like, oh, that is. I think what sucks, what's more motivating about that is not. It's the fact that you are letting three other people experience failure.
Exactly. Yeah. Or however many.
It's not like self accountability.
Mm-hmm. So here's a question: is if everybody loses, where does the money go?
The company. That's your business model.
Just
so, what's in it for them? Is there a reward if everybody completes it?
You get your money back plus.
No, there's no reward. It's just not being embarrassed is your reward. Not being shunned by your friends, and that is motivation enough. And to your question about the money, just I don't know. Pick the most likely political affiliation with your group and send it to the opposite party or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Ooh,
that's a fun idea.
Give you even more incentive to
pick from this list of most divisive political organizations or whatever. Yeah. The NRA.
Us.
PETA.
The company.
It can't be going towards something you want.
Yeah, right,
or,
exactly.
Like, I can't be to Harbor Humane or some, or puppies can't get this money. No, it's got to be something bad. Or heck, just put in a shredder. Have a
dude, just make the app called.
We're like, solving inflation too.
You got to call it putting it in the shredder, but really, I think that's your business model, man. You just collect all the unpaid payments and
you've built
Don't make me rich. Whoa. Don't make me rich. And it's all about like other people betting to not make you rich. It's just...
Yeah, isn't there a... I think it's Fox Sports has the win so-and-so's money.
Ben Stein's money.
But like you can have like a mascot that's like, don't let the hamster guy steal your group's money or whatever, right? And he can be the embodiment of the thing you don't want to get, but really that's just like your business revenue.
Yes.
Mm.
That sounds like fun. I swear, I feel like the social loss... whether it's money or not, it's just like, I just made Leo spend $500 because
we had talked about before, like making it a competition, you know, like, or step bet or whatever. I want to beat out all my friends. No, embarrassment is stronger than competition. Yeah,
this is an upgrade. This is the first sequel 2.0 we've ever had on the show.
2.0.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Other than working out, what would you use this for?
Trying to quit smoking, cooking during a week.
Any bad habits?
I guess so.
Any bad habits.
Trying to get outside at least once a day.
It's simple. I feel like it would be easy to do an MVP for.
With like Stripe and some other kits and stuff, it wouldn't be that hard to get up and running with this. You could even just have it be a web app. It doesn't even have to be like a native app.
I feel like a lot of friends might be lost by this app, but you can't make it too easy though. You got to actually... put the fear of God into them that your friends are going to lose their money.
That's where the money goes.
Truly and deeply.
Is we hire a bunch of auditors. They're like, I don't know. You don't look like you've been working out.
Your money pays for our auditors. You
look like you've been working out.
I sit in a sauna, all right? It's a middle ground.
We're going to need a blood sample.
We see your testosterone level on this date, all
right?
It's more than just working out, but yes.
All right, here's a curveball. So what if you made like a challenge, a blank mystery box challenge? This week only, accept or deny $50 mystery challenge. I send it to you and Leo, and you either join the challenge or you don't. And then you click accept or deny. It's like truth or dare, but challenge. So it's like bet, but... next level. It's like,
you know what the challenge is though, right?
We no idea what the challenge is. It's just Scott is going to challenge me to a freaking workout event. I know him. He's always going to do that. So I'm going to accept. It's
so
easy, you know.
If I accept the challenge, I get the money, and if I don't fulfill the challenge, I have to pay.
Oh, there needs to be a reward.
Did you have to buy in?
I didn't think that hard.
Probably.
I just want Russell to lose $50.
I don't know, the idea of like getting a challenge in my app and being like, ooh, a $50 challenge. I guess it doesn't really mutually assured destruction.
Do you remember the We got this. Do you remember the feeling of sitting in a public place when HQ Trivia was going?
Yes.
How communal that felt. You could have the moment of like, oh God, the betting app challenge of the day just dropped. You all in? Let's all do this together. Let's get everyone doing it. We accept. Oh no, we have to take a photo on top of a mountain. We only have a day to do that.
Print a mountain on a piece of paper, right?
So you have your pot of money. All four of us have put in, we'll just say $1,000 into this pot, right? If one of us fails, I have failed to, we'll go back to the workout example. I failed to work out this week. The money doesn't just disappear. It all gets put on some Vegas bet on black or something automatically. And there's like a 50-50 chance that the money's going to double for everyone else or just disappear completely.
Hey, you just get freaking casinos on board, but it's self-reporting. I guess it doesn't really win or lose for them. They're just like literally betting $1,000. They're either going to make $1,000.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. Is there something that this app could do that's a little bit novel where you can't, like, I know it would be handy to have the, I've checked the box and I promise for sure I did go skiing like I said I would or whatever. But is there something that we could have the challenge be that is actually like, you know, go to a place or present to your phone's camera a thing that's unique that you did or something to prove, like even people could vote yes or no, this counts as they visited a historical tour, you know what I mean?
Yeah, do a photo or video and crowdsource the validity. Right.
Does this count as a piece of art like they said they wanted to make?
That's true. Me and some friends were talking about, we need to go see the doctor. We're adult men. We should be seeing the doctor regularly. Like,
your doctor has to sign it.
You have to have a doctor's note.
You got to get a selfie with the doctor.
That's great.
This audit team is going to need a huge budget.
Right.
I was more thinking along the lines of accountability buddies or someone. You have one person who verifies yes or no. But you're right. They can't have skin in the game because Russell's not going to want to lose all his money by saying no to me.
What if you, like, at any random point, you could hire an auditor, like, to Alex's point? Like, it's the microtransactions that make the money. It's like you get a third-party certifier, and it's just some other dude on the app. Just look like some guy's just like, yeah, I love this app. I just certify certify the most random bets ever. So I need the evidence, you know.
Somebody nearby needs you to
yeah.
It's like Cha-Cha
platform. You know? Yeah. I love that. For a few bucks, you can do, what is the Mechanical Turk, like the Amazon small, you know, you get a few pennies to verify this at the other. If you want to make a couple bucks on it some evening, you can be the third party referee for some of the friends group's bet.
Or just have another group actually verify yours.
Yeah. You check each other's. That's fun.
Because I don't give a shit if this other group fails or not, but.
Does this count as pursuing their hot passion of wanting to do pottery? That isn't pottery. You just played with Play-Doh. Right, yeah.
Bought from Goodwill. Uncheck, you know.
All right, Alex, what is an idea you would love to do but just haven't had time for?
All right, so this is something that I feel like exists in part. I just want something that brings us all together. I have the worst time, like, keeping track of my life, right? So what I would really like is, basically what I need is, like, a personal assistant that's with me 24/7 that can be like, hey, you said that you want to go to sleep by 10 o'clock every night. You're still active. You're still playing video games. You're still, you know, whatever, right? I know you can actually hire a personal assistant that will help manage your life, but there's no way I could ever afford that. I've tried using Siri or whatever, right? But they don't have that hold. I don't know. It even comes down to, like, little things. Like, I need something that can wake me up in the morning that's not an alarm, because that's going to wake my wife up. To me, I need something on my wrist that will, like, it will ask me before I go to bed, like, hey, do you have to work tomorrow? Because I'll change your alarm time or something. I don't know. Like this whole idea of like something to help me manage my life, remind me of my projects that I'm wanting to get to, all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
In 2012, 2013, Google pushed really hard for what they then called Google Now. And they've pivoted away from that in favor of the assistant. And now they're pivoting away from the assistant in favor of Bard. So this is several ADD Google iterations ago. But the idea was you would land from a flight and it would say, hey, here's where your hotel is. You would arrive in a new time zone and it would say, hey, we've updated all this stuff for you. It was the first really foray into like putting information in front of you before you ask for it. Ambient computing, they called it at the time. And I feel like we never really got there to like the promise of computers that present me information without me asking.
I feel like we're almost there with AI, right? Like
some general AI.
Why can't I take a ChatGPT, train it on my personal life, feed it my calendar, feed it my project list, give it my access to my smart devices so that it can yell at me?
Yeah, like holidays, dude, are the worst because it's like 3-day holiday where you're just like, oh, I guess we're taking this day off. It just out of nowhere throws me off. It's like, okay, well, all the stores are closed. I got to set my alarm differently. Should I turn off my Slack, like my email signature? Like there's like 30 things that I should or could do that would make me look really professional or like probably make my life a little bit more what I would like it to be. But I don't want to do all like 30 little things for 10 minutes. I'd rather just like, yo, personal assistant, what questions do you have to get my life in order, right? I get it. Makes sense.
I was at a guy's weekend and I missed a call from the trash company saying, hey, just so you know, MLK Day is coming up and we're not celebrating it and we're doing the normal route. And sure enough, I didn't get the call. And then my trash day is on a Tuesday. Monday night, I'm like, oh, it's a holiday. So everything's probably off by a day. And I didn't put everything out. And then that next morning, I heard the sound and had that panic moment of running out in shorts and Crocs, running to yes. get a trash bin to the end of the street because, oh, man.
I've never done that before.
They're coming after all. And I didn't know. Nowhere other than a missed call was that anywhere presented to me. And businesses who have information like that, that I am a customer of, need to be able to get that in front of me in a more, I don't know, instead of just calling me, it should just be on a display in my house. There's so many displays in my house.
I mean, even if you think about it, like you have a device on your wrist that knows like when you're active and stuff. Why can't we detect like when you've taken out the trash? Yeah. So it can, you know, give it access to your voicemail and it can be like, oh, hey, they said that they're going to be on normal schedule and you haven't taken out the trash yet. I'm going to remind you.
Why can't the UPS truck that drove by that day not tell me?
This was a Black Mirror episode, right?
Oh, I'm sure it is. Yeah. But like
they took like a imprint of your brain and then made it into its own AI that was tailored to you because it was you.
Oh, yeah.
And then it knew your preferences for how you liked your toast in the morning or how you wanted to clean up your email inbox or whatever. And it, you know, the whole dystopian, it was you trapped in a computer helping yourself through stuff. But the concept of it is
awesome. That's so cool.
So you're saying you would indeed enslave a digital version of yourself 100% to be your own assistant.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
100%. No thought.
Oh my God.
If it would like actually get me to get stuff done, like that's my biggest thing is like, I always forget the things that I need to do, no matter how I, you know, try to put it on a calendar or
OpenAI and ChatGPT caught Google on their back foot, and their whole counter argument to OpenAI is, hey, we're going to be able to take all the stuff that we know about you and put it in there. So there's a chance that Google's working toward this vision of I go to Bard and I say, hey, tell me the last 4 family members that emailed me and give me some starter points as to what I should ask them about for how their day is going or whatever. Right. And it's looking through your email and your calendar and, oh, I know in your contacts, you have their birthday's coming up, you know, all the stuff that Google knows about you, but thrown into an LLM blender.
That already happens with companies at CRMs. Like it's just the personal CRM plus, right? Like, why not just do that? Just take, I mean, there are thousands of CRMs all thinking about all these things, but not to maybe the personal version, right? It's always company centric. It's never like me centric. Like, that makes sense.
There should be a personal.
It's going to be wild.
Yeah. Like, hey, you probably should send a letter to this person, or like, hey, you haven't talked to this person in like a long time and you talk to them all the time. Is there a reason why? No. Okay. We're going to send you this text. How's that sound? Okay. You know, like, that's a great idea. You know,
their CRM is taking in all of their incoming messages and filtering them down to a nice little summary for you. And soon the internet is just bots talking to bots and summarizing and expanding.
But how great would it be if you didn't have to like open your email? Your personal assistant could say, hey, you got 27 emails. Only 3 of them actually have any content in them. Here's what they are. Right? Like
a dream.
It's like a really involved mother. Like, oh, you,
pretty much. Yeah.
You haven't talked to your best friend in a while. Do you want me to just, here, give me your phone. I'll send them a text message and we'll set up a play date. I mean, you guys can go hang out, right? Like,
play date.
Just
a play date. Yeah, this is Wally.
You told me you were going to clean your room. Have you done that yet?
Thanks, Mom. You're right.
But seriously, I need that.
I know. There's something about, I wonder if this is just 4 dudes in a room talking about.
I was just going to say that. I think the problem is our lack of female representation on the show.
I'll be honest.
When has that ever been a problem in history?
I talk about this all the time. Like, my wife is my social assist. She's my social manager. So literally every social event that I coordinate with friends, I have to go through my social assistant. Because there's so many calendar events going on. I'm like, I can't overbook, you know? Just a little bit of that so that I don't.
How does she manage it all?
That's a great.
2X chromosomes.
Is it in her head? Does she put it into a calendar somewhere or notes or something?
She started putting it into a calendar for me because literally she can handle, she knows all the things, but she's like, Russell's not going to do this unless I put it in his Google Calendar so that it shows up throughout his day. So literally I'll have an event next week and I'm like, oh, Carrie's getting a massage at 4:00. I should probably be home. I guess it's happening. I out of office that week. And I'm, yeah, it's literally.
Wow.
I guess, Alex, I already have one.
See, that's the thing is I can't ask my wife to be this for me, right? Like, that can't put this on.
We were just talking about how it's an overbearing mother.
I know.
That's what our wives all want to be compared to.
It makes me second guess myself. Like, maybe I'm putting too much on my non-virtual assistants. Like, I need to be helping her in a digital way. I can solve this with technology, is what you're saying, Alex. Is that
I would hope so. I mean, I feel like we got to be close. The reason why I think I struggle with this particularly is my ADHD. So, like, I've looked into ADHD assistants and stuff, and there's people working on them. The people that really need this are the people with ADHD, and so they're the ones that have this idea to build this thing, and then they never get around to finishing it. So that's my problem too, right? Like, I never finish anything because, you know.
Preach it, brother.
So, but, like, I mean, I've even tried, like, they have, like, apps for kids that are, like, routine builders, right? Like, where I've literally tried this app that is meant for children that goes through and it's like, you have 5 minutes to brush your teeth. And if you don't finish it, you have to either like swipe it or away to do it later, or and it will only let you do a couple things. Like, you can't just swipe your whole thing away. And then every time you go beyond your time, it automatically adjusts the rest of your schedule for the morning or whatever.
It's testing you.
Whoa.
But the problem is I don't have a routine.
Yeah.
I'm not a kid that goes to school at a certain time every day, and like building routines is a really hard thing for people who have ADHD to handle, right? Like,
dude, I'm going to add on to this, Alex, in a weird way, but I don't know if every dude in this podcast or in general has this morning routine element where you sit on the porcelain throne for just like, you know, a good couple minutes. What if it knew. And it asks you
what?
It asks you like
my bidet has a camera, is that what you're saying?
No, it asks you five questions like, oh, we noticed that you're sitting on the toilet. Would you like to answer some five questions about your week before?
What's talking you know? To you right now? What is the thing that speaks? Is it the toilet?
I gotta know. I mean, okay, let's say for you hardware guys, we put a Bluetooth device in the toilet. So as soon as you connect a Bluetooth to the toilet, it immediately asks you five questions about, did you know it's Martin Luther King Day next Monday? Would you like to change your count? Like, it just like asks you five quick questions, not intrusive, not trying to ruin your experience here, but
no, man, my toilet is my private time.
The virtual assistant needs to take a moment of time that you definitely have, but choose to take on your own. And I think that best time is when you're sitting, like right when you sit down, it asks you three or four questions about your week.
Like what?
Maybe once a week, not every time.
What information does it need? What does it ask?
Just whatever information it's missing at that yes. time.
Like what?
It can see on your calendar that like you've got all day event on Thursday and Friday. So it says, do you want me to change your alarm so that you're not waking up at 5 a.m. while you're gone?
Couple of quick questions to learn your habits so that it can do better in the future.
What? Yes. One porcelain throne time at a time. Small little prompts, like not trying to be intrusive, but
3 minutes every day at the same time.
Like the Google Maps ones. Hey, where is the entrance to this
can
place?
Just pop up like when it notices some idle activity and say, hey, you got a minute?
Yeah.
Can I ask you a few questions?
Do you have plans this weekend, or are you going to be sitting at home by yourself? Like,
it just judges you for 3 minutes a day.
You haven't talked to that person in a while. Yeah,
that's it. Try calling your mother. Hmm. Maybe that's the app. It's paid for by mothers. It's just like encourages to call your family every weekend, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
There you go.
If you're listening to this podcast, you should probably call your mother right now or your, you know, just
yeah, highly recommended.
it is going to be Mother's Day pretty soon here, right? So
that's right.
That's the kind of public service that this podcast performs for you. Don't forget to get something for your mom for Mother's Day.
Dude, but like, what if you set this goal like in your app? Like, hey, I have some goals this year or like right now. I'll type into my app and then it would just be like, you might have some free time this weekend, or hey, Thursday nights, you seem to be bored or you don't have anything. Like, maybe we'll drop a hint like draw. Yeah. Somebody that, yeah. We're going to wake you up early tomorrow. All right. Let's get you going. Something like that. Little encouragement.
You can go to the gym tomorrow. Yeah.
You went to bed early. We're going to wake you up early. You know,
You
can always hit, you know, snooze or whatever, but.
Or like, hey, you haven't gotten a full 8 hours all week, so I'm gonna let you sleep in.
Whoa, that's a good one.
Me and Leo are like, that's
yeah. You would say that. Yeah, spoken like a true no kid household.
Wow, yeah.
Hey, I have a dog that will wake us up at like 7 a.m. if we don't get up and let her out to give her breakfast. So she stomps in her crate.
I bet OpenAI comes out with one of this, you know, like there's a.
Oh, I know. I'm sure we're like, we got to be like within a couple years of the personal assistant that just.
Yeah. It seems like where they're headed with the MyGPT's infrastructure, you could have one that's trained specifically on. You just hoover up all of your email, all of your calendar, all of that stuff.
I mean, Microsoft is kind of doing that at a company level, aren't they? With Copilot. So.
Yeah,
a bit.
Just got an ad on my Microsoft PC, like Copilot. I'm like, this is an ad-free experience, I thought.
Oh, no.
Nope, Windows gives ads now. Like, just Windows computer.
Did you not see Candy Crush and the Bing search area and stuff? Oh, yeah. Microsoft. Windows has been compromised for years.
My favorite thing is today I downloaded Chrome from Edge, and it's like,
oh, yeah.
Are you sure?
What are you doing? Don't do
you
that.
You don't need another browser.
Edge really...
Nothing is thirstier than Microsoft watching you download a different browser.
Isn't that just like embarrassing? Like it's almost like We know you're on Chrome. We know what our browser's for. It's to download Chrome. But, like, can you just... We're going to try.
It's like... It was like Edge is based on the same thing as Chrome. Yeah. Plus, you get the benefit
added trust of Microsoft. The added trust. That whole... It says, Microsoft Edge is built on the same technology as Chrome, but with the added trust of Microsoft. And the Linux memes subreddits had a field day with that wording. Yeah.
What?
Wow.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed yourself. And thank you, Alex, for being here. This was a great time.
Yeah, it was great.
Thanks.
Our website is spitball.show. There you can find all of our stuff, our YouTube channel, social media. Email us any feedback, comments, ideas, things that this sparked in your own head. We're podcast@spitball.show. That's also how you can follow us on the Fediverse, such as Mastodon. We are podcast@spitball.show. Our subreddit is r/spitballshow. Our intro outro music is Swingers by Bonkers Beat Club. Please, you're listening, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever you want to do for getting podcasts, if you wouldn't mind, subscribe, add, whatever the teens are saying for how to follow a show nowadays, please do that. That would be helpful to us. A new episode is coming out soon. We will see you then.